You're listening to Centertainment Talk Radio on the web at www.centertainment.org. I'm Joe Davidson. Thank you so much for joining me. My guest today is James W. Graham, and he's the author of this beautiful book called Victoria, The Kennedys, A Sailboat, and the Sea. Victoria is Latin for about to conquer. It comes from the Latin word, which means about to conquer, so about to overcome. And I know many of you listening to this show tune in to get advice and inspiration on how to turn challenges into opportunities. How did this sport, this adventure, this hobby, how did this bring the family together through their challenges and also through their triumphs? You can find out more at thevictoria.com, and that's thevictoria.com. And I want to welcome James Graham to the show today.
The Kennedy family, Joe and Rose, bought the boat for their children in 1932, and for whatever reason, it's not really known why, Jack Kennedy was invited to give the boat its name. There's a letter I found in the papers of the Kennedy family in which Joe, the older brother, is telling the boatmakers that they don't know what the boat's name is going to be because Jack is in the infirmary right now and we're waiting for him to tell us. And Jack was always sick, so it was not unusual to hear that. In any case, he chose Victoria. He was kind of a mediocre Latin student, but it's a Latin word that means about to conquer or about to be victorious. Victorious. So I think it's an appropriate name for a family that was so competitive in the sailboat races.
Well, there are so many books out there about the Kennedy family and movies, and et cetera. What makes this one different?
You know, there are a lot of books about the Kennedy family, but what I thought made this story so different and so compelling in its own way was that it really, through the lens created by the story of their life by the sea and their life competing against one another and being together on sailboats, I thought you got a really unique perspective of the relationships between brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and cousins over four generations. And I think that's such an important part of the Kennedy story is the family relationships. So many of the other books are biographical in nature about individual members of the family or about President Kennedy and his brother Robert, but nothing that really I felt puts the whole package together of an extended family over so many years and the things they had in common.
Yeah, I thought this book was really wonderful. It was so well written and really engaging and really interesting. And I loved that, you know, you would talk about politics a little bit and bring that into it, obviously, but then it kept coming back to sailing. And I wondered, for people who, you know, have not read this book yet and aren't really familiar with it, could you just give a little bit of background about this boat and some of the ways that it was so important to the family and building relationships and continues to, you know, be part of what they go through the generations?
Sure. You know, it's one of the interesting things about the Kennedy family that I found so fascinating is that so many of them spent their childhood or their teen years during the decade of the 1930s sailing together. And they sailed every day and raced all of them, the brothers, the sisters. And I really think that that period of the 1930s was crucial to the formative, it was so much a part of the formative years of being a Kennedy, and we all know where that led in terms of also many of those people having such a huge impact on the future of our country, considering not just John F. Kennedy and Robert and Ted, but also Eunice, who was so influential in changing our understanding of how people with special needs can contribute to society. And I really think so much of it goes back to that period. And so the story, as you say, takes you through several decades of what goes on in the life of the Kennedys and how they always came back to sailing. So, and then how it really helped define the Kennedy brand in a lot of ways additionally. So John F. Kennedy went off to World War II, and his brother Ted said that he doesn't think that John F. Kennedy would have survived World War II had he not had spent that childhood on the sea and learning boating and swimming. And it continues into the 1950s with John F. Kennedy and his fiancée Jacqueline Kennedy on the bow of the Victoria on the cover of Life magazine. And that boat continues to be a part of their life. Even in 1969, Ted went sailing, afterwards, he went sailing in the Edgartown Regatta, and afterwards went to meet some friends for a few drinks, and he sadly drove a car off a bridge, so fatal to a young woman. So it was so much a part of their lives over so much time, both the triumphs and the tragedies.
You know, you wrote in the book too that Life magazine back in those days really played a key major role in creating this image of the Kennedys at play.
It did. It was an interesting thing to see how that magazine kept reappearing. Even in 1940, there a photographer was sent to do a story, a photo story about the Kennedy family, and got on the bow of the Victoria to take a picture of the Kennedys. And the photographer was Alfred Eisenstadt, who became famous for that photo he took on VJ Day at the end of World War II, where a sailor grabbed the nurse and gave her a big kiss.
Yeah, Times Square.
Exactly. Same photographer on the bow of the Victoria. And then, you go into the 50s with Life magazine, and they're on the cover. There's a moment right after World War II with the famous story of PT-109 that established John F. Kennedy as a war hero. There's an article written about that really made him initially famous by the famous writer John Hersey. He had hoped to sell that to Life magazine, but wasn't successful and ended up appearing in The New Yorker instead. But those magazines had so much influence in those years and really helped shape the public persona of the Kennedys.
You know, what's so hard for many of us who are younger to understand is how somebody who was Catholic and or Irish could face so much persecution in this country. And it was a really big deal then, wasn't it?
It really was, and especially when you're a Kennedy child growing up in the 30s, it was fresher in memory. Rose Kennedy Chris Kennedy told me of having lunch with his grandmother Rose, and Rose felt it her obligation to remind her children and grandchildren of how Irish used to be treated. She told Chris about the signs that would appear in windows that would say help wanted, and below it the letters NINA, which meant no Irish need apply. And they really felt discriminated against in Boston by the Boston Brahmin. In fact, Joe Kennedy kind of grew frustrated and moved the family out of Boston to New York, while of course keeping the house on the south shore of Cape Cod.
And they were rejected by country clubs, golf clubs. They weren't really given entrance into this, were they?
Yeah, exactly. When they first moved to Hyannis Port, they really weren't into sailing very much. They tried to sign up for golf clubs and were rejected by a number of them. They took up sailing, and that became one way for them to seek acceptance into the broader society. They could prove themselves as competitive racers on an even playing field, and I think they felt that was one way that they could interact with the other families that were non-Irish. But of course, Joe Kennedy established himself as affluent, but even the money he made didn't necessarily buy him acceptance into the rest of the Boston Brahmin society.
On the show, we often talk about navigating through life challenges, whether they're health issues or really a wide range of things, and turning things into opportunities, using hard times to make us stronger. And I think that's another reason why I love the title of this book. And you sail. What has sailing taught you personally about these things? How has it helped you besides being a wonderful, fun hobby?
You know, I do think it puts life into perspective and makes you feel so much more connected to the environment we live in. You know, you're out there on the water feeling the waves. You're powered by the wind. There's no motor. Sailboats have motors, but you're supposed to turn them off. John F. Kennedy, when he was president of the United States, had a little plaque on his desk in the Oval Office that said, it was known as the Fisherman's Prayer, and it said, "Oh God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small." And I always felt that even a man is at the height of his powers enjoyed the perspective that sailing gave him, that it put everything in perspective. It gave you a sense of the infinite horizons, and especially sailing at night when you could see the stars above. Carrie Kennedy told me that she never really felt closer to God than when she was on a sailboat looking up at the stars.
Is it true that when you're sailing that you learn more from mistakes and close calls than from success?
Yeah, sailing is a little bit like golf in that way.
It's a little bit more fun than golf.
It's a little bit more fun, but they're certainly, you know, sailors are famous for expletives. It can be a very very frustrating sport.
I would think
especially
so.
Especially when the wind is blowing and the waves are high, you know, you're really battling to keep the boat upright, and something can go wrong. A line can slip out of a cleat or something, and suddenly your sail is luffing and you're trying to get the boat back under control. So it can be very frustrating, but on the other hand, it can also be wonderfully peaceful and calming if you've got everything is working right and you're powering through the waves and the wind is in your favor. It can be both unnerving and very settling at once.
Maybe that's the problem. I need to start swearing more.
Get it out.
Right. I never swear. That's what's wrong. No, it was funny reading the book. There was just so many great sections, and you did give us this vivid picture of how it brought the whole family together, you know, competitively, but also in support of each other, really.
One of the things I found interesting is, and you come across this both in the story and in talking or reading about the Kennedys, that even times of grief and tragedy, that the sailboats helped them recover. When Joe Jr. was killed in World War II and the family was informed about it at Hyannis Port, they all shed a lot of tears and grieved, but then that afternoon they all decided, you know, Joe, if he were here, he'd want us to go sailing. So they all got in a boat and went sailing. And later in life, Carrie Kennedy told me that it's become kind of a tradition almost when someone dies and the funeral is in the morning. If it's at Cape Cod, they often will reassemble at the house, at the compound, because they still have several houses there. And very often they'll go out for a sail. They did that, after Ted and Eunice died. It's a wonderful way for a family to connect. And that's one of the things that I hope comes across in the book is the power that the Kennedys found from shared experiences and the way in which it strengthened their family. And they use sailing to do that. But I think that many families could find other means, similar means of strengthening their own families by establishing other kinds of shared experiences. And if it's not sailing, it could be fly fishing or quilting or any number of other things.
How long have you been sailing personally? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I actually learned. I went to college at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, and of all places, Iowa is where I learned to sail. on a small lake in Des Moines. I didn't really take it up until about 20 years ago when I began sailing regularly, and we moved to a house that's close to Lake Michigan in Wilmette, Illinois. And so I've more and more. We graduated, as all sailors do, from a little laser sailboat to a bigger Hobie Cat, and then now we're on a 24-foot rainbow-class sailboat called Venturous, as you mentioned.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to do that someday. It's still on my list.
Well, come out to Wilmette. I'd love to take you out.
You know, I've never been to Lake Michigan, but I've seen some absolutely beautiful pictures online.
It's a beautiful...
Yeah,
it's a beautiful, beautiful lake. I think Chicago is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, primarily because of that beautiful setting by the lake. And I always tell people that I think Oak Street Beach in the shadow of the Hancock Building and those other Gold Coast buildings is one of the most beautiful beaches in the world.
You know, in the book you mentioned the author Henry Beston and this little teeny cottage that he built to write.
Beston was a fascinating figure and really influential for future writers on environmental topics. He devoted a whole book called The Outermost House to his experiences out there, just experiencing the rhythms of nature and the movement of the tides and the vegetation of Cape Cod and the birds coming and going. It was a really a beautiful poetic description of Cape Cod and the beauty of nature there. And it was a really, it was a very modest little cottage that eventually was washed away in a storm.
Wow. And that was near where the Kennedys were, right?
Yeah, he was, they lived on the south shore, or live on the south shore of Cape Cod. He was on the eastern shore facing the Atlantic Ocean, so it was much more exposed to the elements there.
Right.
But only, you know, it's a very short drive if you were to go out that way. I always wondered if, because they lived there at the same time, Henry Beston built the Ottermost House right around the same time that the Kennedys first moved there, and I always wondered if they ran into one another in Hyannisport or someplace. JFK eventually established the Cape Cod National Seashore, and Beston was cited as a motivational factor in establishing that park.
The boat Victoria is on display in Boston soon, is that right?
It's at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum. They put it into winter storage during the months from November to May, and then they bring it out in early May. So it's been brought back a few days ago, and it's back on the lawn. And I'm privileged next Sunday to be able to give a talk about the Victoria at the museum. And the hope is to, if the weather's permitting, we'll invite the audience to go out onto the lawn and stand next to the boat and talk about it.
Well, where can people find out more about this book and get a copy?
The easiest place is to go to my website for the book, which is called thevictura.com. It's the VICTURA.com. And there are links to booksellers there. And of course, it's on the usual online booksellers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble or at your favorite bookstore.
Right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Zentertainment Talk Radio on the web at www.zentertainment.org. I'm Joe Davidson. Thanks again to James Graham for joining us. This is a great book. I highly recommend it. You can find out more and get a copy at thevictura.com. That's spelled T-H-E-V-I-C-T-U-R-A.com. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll catch you next time.